Okay, everyone, it's time for Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. I'm your host, Pete Costanis. This is episode 159, season 7. And today's date is August 28th, 2022. And thank you for joining me today. On today's program, I will talk about community discount stores. And the next topic I will discuss is Irv Kupsinen. I can't pronounce his name. I have a trouble. It's Irv Kupsinen. And he was a columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times for mostly of his entire life, and he had his own TV talk show. I will talk about my memories about him and his biography. And it should be a lot of fun. Right now, the program will go into a commercial break. This program is brought to you by Nestle's Triple Decker Chocolate Candy Bar. Oh, I missed this one. I really did. I had this when I was a kid. So here's a commercial from 1969. So sit back and enjoy, everyone. Thank you.
One day in Nestle's chocolate land, little Hans was hungry for a sandwich.
I was on my lunch hour.
And that's when he invented Nestle's Triple Decker Bar. He took a slice of dark chocolate, creamy white fudge, and a slice of milk chocolate, and made a sandwich. Three layers, three times the flavor, and he called it...
Ham on a Rye?
No, Nestle's Triple Decker Bar.
Oh, that's a good name, too. I'm glad I thought of it.
Okay, everyone, I am back. I hope you enjoyed the commercial for Nestle's Triple Decker Chocolate Candy Bar. I love this candy. I remember this candy bar very much when I was little. It consisted of dark chocolate, milk, white fudge, and milk chocolate on top. It was available in the 1960s and until the early 70s, and then they yanked it. I don't know why. I loved it when I was a kid. When I lived in the Roseland neighborhood on the south side in Chicago, my mother bought this candy bar for me, and I think she bought it in Kresge's, right next to Gately's People's Store, and it was good. I like that. On the commercial, if you recognize the guy who's speaking, Hans, that's actor Paul Frees, who did Boris Badenoff on Rocky and Bullwinkle. He was in a lot of TV shows, did a lot of voice. He was seemed like a nice guy. Okay. At the beginning of the program, I said I will talk about community discount stores in Chicago. Also, I will talk about Irv Kupsinen. If I have trouble saying his last name, I'll call him Cup. You know, I'll do that because he was well known as that. Okay, so here we go. We're going to talk about community discount stores first. Okay, so that was founded in probably the late 1950s, and it was founded by a man named Lawrence Goodman. They call him Larry sometimes, like that. And he opened some army surplus stores, and then it quickly turned into a community discount store. And according to his obituary in the Chicago Sun-Times, the Chicago Tribune. Forgive me. That was, he did some live commercials during the 1950s, and he hosted a show called Outer Space Quiz. And I tried to research that. I can't find anything of that. Someone mentioned on Facebook, on one of the groups, and said that he also hosted a show called Action Theater or Community Action Theater. Maybe he did. So I looked at, I researched that, and it was in the TV guide called Action Theater. It must have been that because they showcased old Western movies and also Gene Autry Westerns as that. And also produced the Flash Gordon series. Flash Gordon was big back then. They were in the movies first with Buster Crabb, and then they transferred to television. And I think he did that. I believe he did. Yeah. And then And then during the 60s, it expanded to more stores. And then in the spring of 1968, the company bought out Shoppers World, which I discussed at a previous podcast episode, and they all converted into that until all the way at the end around 1980, 1981. That's when it went out of business. I don't know the real reason, you know, because Larry Goodman, he was in the he had a commercial real estate firm, so he operated office buildings, shopping centers. He was a very wealthy man, but I heard he was very generous. You know, he had a lot of charities, and unfortunately, he passed away on August 2nd, 2019. He was 95 years old. Oh, long life. So I found an ad from the Chicago Tribune. It was from December 28th, 1968. And so I'm going to read off the stores, the store locations, and some of them were converted. Shoppers World stores were converted into community. So if I read off the addresses, you probably recognize them, and you probably remember where you grew up. You probably seen that. Okay, so here we go. Here is the ones in the city. There was one at 6440 Fullerton Avenue. That's at Narragansett and Grand, right near the Brickyard Mall on the north side. The other one was at 47th and Halsted on the south side. I found a picture of that, and they had a huge grand opening from what I've been told. That was a big deal back then. And the other one was at Damon and Jackson, South Damon, on the west side. Also on the north side on Milwaukee Avenue at Foster and Central. And also there was another one. This one, a lot of people remember, was at Lawrence and Harlem. And that's probably near Harlem and Irving. About a little north, but I think it moved that way. I'll get to that in a second. Also at Belmont and Clark on the north side in the Lakeview neighborhood in Chicago, 3161 North Clark Street. And the other one was at Lincoln Avenue and Devon Avenue and McCormick, where that was a Shoppers World. And I think it opened in 1962, around there. There's a photo of that. And also it was at Toohey and Clark in the Rogers Park neighborhood, 7212 North Clark Street. Now on the south side, this is southeast side. This was located East 87th Street and Greenwood Avenue near Stony Island Avenue. Now, I have a friend. He's my best friend. And he called me. And he asked me, Pete, do you remember Community Store? And I said, yes. And I said, my mother took me to this store when I was little because he lived in an area at the time in the 60s. And I said, yeah. So I said, yes. And he asked me, can you do a podcast episode of that? Because he's been listening. I said, sure, why not? You know, I was going to do one later, but I figured, nah, I'll do it. You know, as a favor of him. No, he's a good guy. Next up was at near Midway Airport at 56th Street and Cicero Avenue. Now, that was a Shopper's World. That was a Shopper's World store. I have a photo of that. I posted that recently. And they were junior discount stores, and there were four locations in the city. One was at 35th and South Halsted. The other one was at North Avenue and Pulaski Road on the north side. Also at Chicago Avenue and Ashland, probably near Goldblatt's. I don't know if it is the Goldblatt store. I'm not sure. And the other one was at Irving Park in Harlem. So I'm not sure about this. Maybe this was the original one, but now it's a small store. I don't know. I have no idea. Okay. And in the suburbs, one was at Mount Prospect, Illinois, at Rand Road and Elmhurst Road. The other one was at Melrose Park, North Avenue and Fifth Avenue. In Niles, Illinois, 7225 West Dempster. And also two in the suburb of Cicero. One is at 32nd and South Cicero, right near the Bel Air Drive-In. And the other one was at Cermak Road and Austin Boulevard. And then in Villa Park, that borders Oakbrook Terrace at Roosevelt Road and Summit Roads, right there. Also in the southern suburbs was at Harvey, Illinois at 148th Street and Dixie Highway. That's near the Dixie Square Mall. And the other one was at Chicago Heights, Route 30 and Western Avenue. And I think that's Lincoln Highway, I think. That's probably. And on the other one in the western suburbs was in Lombard at 1141 South Main Street. And two in the southwest suburbs in Oak Lawn and 97th and Cicero. And in Chicago Ridge, Illinois at 6400 West 95th Street, right across the street where is now Chicago Ridge Mall, right near my home. My mother shopped there maybe once. I think she shopped the one in Chicago Ridge, or it could be Oakland. I got to double check when she gets home. But I believe that's the one in Chicago Ridge. She went there, and she remembered a little bit. She bought a few things there. She liked the store very much. There's a photo of that. I have a photo of that location, Chicago Ridge, and there was an A&P. Okay, and there were some out of state, for example, in Highland, Indiana, Gary, Indiana, also in Aurora, Illinois. That's not out of state. That's out in the boonies, like that. And also at Decatur, Illinois, downstate, and two in Wisconsin, one in Kenosha, one in NRC. Okay, right now I'm going to play a commercial for community stores, and this is a Christmas commercial. This is the only one I can find on YouTube, and this is courtesy of fuzzymemories.tv that runs by Rick Klein. Thank you, Rick, for the commercial, and I credit you. So here is the so sit back and enjoy the commercial for Community Stores. Thank you, everyone.
Community stretches the dollar to make it the biggest buck in Chicago with a sensational community rebate program.
Imagine with every $5 purchase, you get a $1 rebate.
For example, spend $50 and you get $10 in community rebate certificates to spend in any one of 72 great departments.
It all means more gift giving with more savings on our already low everyday discount prices.
It's a Christmas exclusive only at Community.
Shop Community, where you can stretch your Christmas dollar.
Okay, everyone, I'm back. I hope you enjoyed the commercial for Community Discount World or Discount Stores. I said earlier that they closed up around 1980, 1981. And back then in the late 50s and the 60s and the 70s, you know, there was huge and fierce competition between discount stores. Like in the 60s, for example, there was Tops discount store, remember that? There was Shopper's World, which I mentioned, also Turnstile, Zaire. In the 70s was Venture. Those were big back then. There's also Kmart, that's gone too. And now we have Target and Walmart. Same thing, same exact thing. To be honest with you, I like Target better than Walmart. Walmart's okay. You know, because I can find, sometimes I can't find things in Walmart, and so I go to Target. And sometimes if I want something at Target, I go to Walmart. That's how it is. I'm sure it's happened to everybody. So that's so when I posted that I was going to talk about community discount stores on my on Facebook, people got excited. Also on Twitter, you know, and they also got excited about my next subject I will talk about, which is Herb Kupcinet. I will call him Cup sometimes. And that man was larger in life. You know, he was in our lives for a long time. Probably kids today don't know who he is or who he was. You know, you have to ask your parents or your grandparents, but he was everywhere. He wrote a column in the Chicago Sun-Times almost all his life. He had his own TV show, which I will go into more detail in a moment. So first off, I'm going to talk about his biography. Okay, so here we go. Let's see. Okay, so Irving Kupcinet was born on July 31st, 1912. But his nickname was Cup. And his Cup column was launched in 1943, long time, you know. And it was there until the day he died. that was there. And he was born on the west side in the North Lawndale neighborhood. And let's see. He won a football scholarship to Northwestern University. But, you know, I didn't know he played football. I had no idea. And then he transferred to the University of North Dakota, according to, I don't know the reason why. And then after he graduated college, he was signed up for the Philadelphia Eagles in 1935. And then he got injured. So that ended his football career. And then he took a job as a sports writer for the Chicago Daily News in 1935. Yeah, interesting. And he also wrote, while he was writing the sports column, he wrote a people section of the paper. And it was called Cubs Column. And then the Chicago, there was, you had the Sun Times, but it was also called the Chicago Sun. And then you have the Daily News, and they merged. And it became the Chicago Sun Times. So he was there already. And he switched, somebody suggested, why don't you not just concentrate on just sports, just do about what's going on in Chicago. You know, like a gossip columnist, like famous ones like Hedda Hopper and Dorothy Kilgallen, and you know, all these other famous ones. There were, one was, Hedda Hopper was based in Hollywood, and Dorothy Kilgallen was based in New York. So it was the same thing. Or Walter Winchell, like that. I heard somewhere he butted heads with him, but it's another story. And it was not just Chicago Times. It also was distributed to other newspapers around the world. And he talked about the nightlife of Chicago, gossip, even political gossip, sometimes. And let's see. And then he appeared on television. And is, let's see, the... one of the earliest TV shows he hosted, and it was on WGN-TV in 1950. It was called Request Performance. I didn't know that. It was a variety show, and he had guests and all that. I don't know how long it lasted. Maybe about a couple of years, I imagine. And then he started, once that was over, then he went into television talk show. He went into that genre. He was first on WBBM. Channel 2. I think he had hosted a show after the news. And he did that. And in 1959, I think 58 or 59, he started hosting a show called At Random. And he also... that started Cubs Show. It was called that later on, like that. And it ran for a long time, a long, long time. And also I want to point out that he did radio broadcasts for the Chicago Bears with Jack Brickhouse, which I did not know that. And he did that for many years, you know, with Jack Brickhouse, probably at least 20 years he did that. I have no idea. Okay. So let's see. So Cubs Show started. First it was on Channel 2 and WBBM. Then it moved over to WBKB, which later on became WLS. Later on, he was there for much of the 60s. That I believe in 1969, he moved over to Channel 5. And he was there for a long time. And that aired like at midnight, you know. And I remember watching it when I stayed up late. And I don't know if it was on after Saturday Night Live. Maybe it was. I'm not sure what night it was on. Probably. And the funny thing about when he first hosted At Random in the late 50s, this aired like about midnight, and it was live, and he would invite guests, and this would last like about 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock or 3:30 in the morning, you know, and people wondering, why is this guy still on? interviewing people, and that was kind of innovative. That was interesting, you know, to see like that. Of course, after he went to Channel 7 on WLS or Channel 5, I don't think he did that. I think it was just an hour. That was it. Okay. Right now, I'm going to play a promo clip from Cups Show with Irv Cups in it. So sit back and enjoy. You will hear his voice, and he will talk, and this will describe his TV talk show. Okay, so here we go.
How do you do? I'm Irv Cups in it, moderator of Cups Show, dedicated to the lively art of conversation. Ours is a freewheeling, informal type of discussion show in which we invite some of the most interesting people in the world to participate. They represent all walks of life, and they engage freely in the fine old art of conversation, in the give and take of controversial conversation. We put together a few samples of our shows, of our recent shows, I should say, so that you can get some idea of the breadth and the scope of our guests and the range of topics that develop in the course of their conversation. In one of our recent segments, we invited a group of authors to sit in, and Hugh Hefner, the publisher of Playboy magazine, joined them.
Okay, everyone, I'm back. I hope you enjoyed the promo for Cups Show. Let's see what I think. You know, he was married to Esther Solomon, her nickname Essie. When I heard, she was a very interesting lady. I heard she was foul mouth, you know, and smoked like a chimney. But I heard she was a very nice lady, you know, and they were together for many years. You know, that's lovely. And they had two children. One was Jerry Cupson, his son, and Karen Cupson. Now, about her, she left Chicago to become an actress. And she appeared in a couple movies and a few TV shows. And unfortunately, she was murdered in around Thanksgiving, 1963. I had no idea about this. On the E! Channel, the True Hollywood Stories, they did a special about her. I watched that, and I was fascinated by it. And I don't know if she was murdered, but they did find drugs in her system, you know, and we don't know. And some people say she was murdered. Some people said she died. You know, she committed suicide. We have no idea. And that's a shame. And I heard that her parents took her death very hard. You know, sometimes they were inconsolable for a while, but they were okay. So they moved on. And also Cup, if you remember, he was always at the Pump Room restaurant at the Ambassador Hotel on the north side. He had a, you know, he was on, I think, booth number one. That was his. He would do his work, you know, do research, or I don't know if he brought his typewriter. I don't think so. He would wait for guests to arrive, and he would interview them, famous guests. You know, his show consisted of not just celebrities, also political figures, mostly authors. Sometimes he had one or two together, but celebrities, mostly movies, television. There's one with Lauren Bacall, actress Lauren Bacall. I watched that. That was fascinating. I like that. He seemed a good interviewer, you know, very relaxed. You know, he wasn't like in your face like that. He didn't do that at all, you know. And so that was interesting. Also, he appeared in two movies, and it was like Miss It and Blink, or Blink and Miss appearances. One was Anatomy of Murder, directed by Otto Preminger, and also the 1962 movie Advice and Consent. Anatomy of a Murder came out in 1959. I saw both movies. I don't remember seeing them, but I got to watch them. I got to rewatch them. We'll do that. He wrote two books, I believe. One was Cups Chicago. That came out in the early 60s. I've seen this book. I never read it. And also he wrote his autobiography. It was published. It was called Cup, A Man, An Era, A City. Interesting. So, let's see. So, like I said, Irv Cupson had worked all the way to the end, but he had a assistant. But he didn't do most. So she mostly, whatever he told her, probably dictate, and then she wrote the column, you know, until, because he was very sick and very old, you know, and didn't want to retire. You know, he was like a steam engine. Like that. That's amazing. It really was. And, you know, I'm a Chicago Tribune subscriber, but whenever I get a copy of the Sun-Times, back in the day, the first thing I would look over was Cup's column. I would read that, you know, and see what's going on, you know. He would also say birthdays and, you know, what movies were playing in Chicago and upcoming interviews with famous people. He would mention that on his TV show. Let's see what else. Yeah, he did that. And I remember watching him on WBM TV channel 2. He was there during the news. I don't know what time, probably at night, probably 10 o'clock. And he would say, what's going on? Probably 6 or 10. I don't remember exactly. And there he was, you know, and he would lead off, you know, what's going on in Chicago, you know. But they, you know, like the newscasters would call him Cup. Cup was coming. To me, he was a nice man. He really was. I found him fascinating, you know. So we need someone in the media like that today. But, you know, it's changed. We have social media, you know. So we get our news from Facebook or Twitter or any website like that. Okay. So that's my memories of Irv Cupson. All right. So before I sign off, I want to tell you a couple things. I was interviewed on the radio yesterday on WCPT 820 AM in Chicago with, on the Where Are You Now show with Art and Bobby. This is my second time. I talked about Riverview Park on my first one, but on this show I talk about Frazier Thomas. And the guys asked me what I about my memories, and I told them, you know, I said a few things about watching Garfield Goose and Friends, also family classics. And then I said I will do something special for the 60th anniversary of WGN's Family Classics, hosted by Frazier Thomas. I'm going to do a little video. It'll show some photos and some television ads, and I will do a story on my blog. Chicagoland.blog. Also, I will do a podcast episode. I did one earlier last year, but I sort of touched it, but I will elaborate more on it. So I will do that. And let's see. So that'll be ready in September. That'll be a lot of fun. And also, yesterday was I was 10 months cancer-free for prostate cancer. I'm doing very well. Thank you. Okay, and so that'll be all for today. This episode will be published probably in the afternoon. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. About Google Podcasts, I had a little glitch. Someone sent me an email, says, how come you don't have all the episodes? So I checked on the app, and I said, whoop. So I had to reload it. You know, I had to distribute it again. It took like about 24 to 48 hours, but now they have all the episodes, so you can listen on that as well. Also on Amazon Music, Spotify. Also, I have a YouTube channel. If you do a search on YouTube, Vanish Chicagoland Stories, you will find it. And I also have another podcast, TV Oblivion. You can listen as well. So help yourself. So today was a fun episode. I liked it. I will not do one. Usually I do one on Tuesday, but I have something to do, and I don't think I have time. Maybe I'll sneak one in this week. I don't know. Usually I'll do it on the weekend. We'll see about that. Okay. So this is Pico Stanis, your host of Vanished Chicagoland Stories. Thank you again for joining me. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Nervous as always, always rambling. I'm an amateur, and this is the real me. This is what you get. Okay. So bye-bye for now from me. And here is Ray Rayner with a little traveling music saying bye-bye-bye. And I hope to hear from you soon. So everyone have a great day. Thank you, everyone.
We have to go. Bye-bye-bye.